Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. I want to ask you a question today. What are you reading in the Bible? How's it going for you in your Bible reading? Are you one of those Bible reading Christians? Or are you the kind of Christian that basically gets your little crumb at church and then goes about your week with, you know, watching your shows, having your input from your friends and family and others, but only getting the barest, minimal input from the very Word of God? Well, may it not be said of you and me. More important than virtually anything else in your Christian growth is your intake of the Bible. Don Whitney, in his wonderful book, Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life, took us to 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, and we talked about the importance of being disciplined for the sake of godliness. And he pointed out that the word for discipline is the word where we get our English word gymnastics or gymnasium. We need to go to God's gym, the Bible. That's one of our most important spiritual disciplines, to have a regular input of the Scripture. In Psalm 19, the psalmist really talks about how wonderful the scriptures are and how beneficial they are to our lives. Listen for the different ways it describes the Scripture and the different benefits that come from the Scripture in Psalm 19, 7 through 9. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Verse 10 says, more to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. So if you just wanted to look at the Scriptures and kind of consider them from different angles, it is a beneficial study to see even the way that the psalmist describes the Scripture, the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the rules of the Lord. But then look at the way that those different manifestations of the Bible show up in the character of the Bible. It's perfect. It's sure. It's right. It's pure. It's clean, and it is true. And then finally, in these verses, we see the benefits of the Bible, reviving the soul. Do you need revival today? Maybe you are spiritually low. You just aren't feeling it. And you're looking for answers from God in perhaps the wrong places. I've got a book that you should look into. That's where revival comes from. Psalm 19, verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. If you need your soul revived, open your Bible. Then what are some of the other benefits? It makes wise the simple. Oh, wow. If you've read Proverbs lately, you know there's a big difference between wisdom and foolishness. We don't want to be fools. We want to be wise in every way. Well, there's a clear path toward wisdom laid out in this verse. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Another benefit, rejoicing the heart. Are you down? Are you sad? Does your heart need to be lifted up? Well, the Bible is what causes you to rejoice. It also enlightens the eyes. It endures forever. And it is righteous altogether. And then those verses that follow say that it's more to be desired than lots of money. It's sweeter than honey. And in the Bible times, of course, honey was one of the sweetest objects that they had. One of the sweetest tastes you could have in your mouth is honey. And now our technology has given us great artificial sweeteners and things like pixie sticks. Do you remember those? You used to get those as a kid. I can't imagine the dentist that get that big smile when they see you going for a pixie stick, because it is cavities for sure, because it's like pure flavored sugar you're putting into your mouth. Anyway, all that to say, the Bible says that the Bible is sweeter than honey. This is what we need to do. We need to read our Bibles. So how are you going to be a better Bible reader? If it is so wonderful and so beneficial, what can you do to make sure the Bible is a major part of your life? And I have to say, as an early Christian, nobody told me this. I remember my pastor tried to tell me. I grew up in kind of a traditional church in Virginia. And I remember when my pastor came up to me and I was a young teenager, I don't think I was a Christian at that time. And he said, "Are you reading your Bible every day?" And I laughed. I thought he was joking around with me. Oh, what a guy. My pastor, he's really human. He makes jokes for me. He wasn't joking. If your pastor comes up to you and asks if you're reading the Bible, do not laugh. It is not a joke. Hey, your pastor is caring for your soul. My pastor was trying to care for my soul, but I did not have ears to hear. Then when I became a Christian, I got into some theological arguments with other people. And the Bible then became weaponized for me. I would go and search out my concordance to see where the Bible talked about this or that, whatever I was debating at the time. And I would be loaded up for the next day. And I would get into these spiritual arguments, whether it be at my school cafeteria. I got saved when I was about 16. And so I was still in high school. And then I worked at a Christian bookstore, and I would get into Bible battles at the bookstore. And then I transferred to a Christian school and had more Bible battles. And later on, I wrote a book about how to be gracious, you know, while you're maintaining your passion for the truth. And really, that's kind of my autobiography, in a sense. It's spiritual lessons I had to learn to become more gracious, because the Bible's not given to you to be a club for all of your friends and family to beat them up. It is God's truth to us. It's precious to us. So let me just give you a couple of ways right now. How can you change right now to get more Bible into your life? Well, first, I think it's great to have a time and a place for the means of grace, the means that God uses to grow you up. In other words, if you just wait around until you're inspired to read the Bible, it might not happen. But what if you say, 7 o'clock in this room at this table, I'm going to read my Bible. In fact, I'm going to leave a Bible there with a bookmark in it. I don't even have to figure out where to read. I'm going to read it. Well, if you do that regularly, that is going to be a game changer for your Christian life. Just that is going to help you a lot. But I think we can do it even better. Let's make a plan. What are you going to read? I think you should not just pick and choose. I think you should read straight through books of the Bible. You might not necessarily want to read straight through the Bible, starting in Genesis. That's certainly a great thing to do. But if you're not familiar with the Bible much at all, maybe start in the New Testament. Maybe start with one of the Gospels, which kind of walks through the life of Jesus, what he taught, what he did, and the disciples and the lessons he gave to them. And of course, emphasizing his work on the cross and in the resurrection. So there's four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I say start with Mark. Why? Because Mark is the shortest one. You can make progress, get through that. It's only 16 chapters long. If you read a chapter a day, you could read Mark twice in a month, virtually. And that would be great for your soul. And then just go find a different place to read. I've heard John MacArthur recommend read the same book of the Bible, maybe a short book of the Bible like Ephesians, which is just six chapters. Read that through, read it every day for a month. Whether you read all of it every day for a month or part of it every day for a month, I'll tell you this, at the end of the month, you're going to know the book of Ephesians a lot better than you ever imagined. All right, we have to take a break. After the break, I'm going to come back and give you some more ideas for being a better Bible reader, because knowing God's word is where it all starts. God reveals himself to us in this book. How do you know God? How do you know what he wants you to do? He wrote it down for you. So we're going to help you to become a man or woman of the book.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. John Krotz in just a moment. Dr. Krotz talking today about weaponizing scripture in Bible battles. And I think we've all been there, whether we're on the giving or receiving side of it. And listen, it reminds me of a resource. And I'm not saying this because I work here. It's actually something that's true. This resource that I'm about to recommend you changed my life before I ever even met Todd Friel. I'm talking about Herman Hu. Don't let the name fool you. It's a master's level course on interpreting scripture, minus the student loans. But Herman Hu will help walk you through how to interpret scripture rightly. And once you're able to do that, you're going to start moving past those biblical battles. Herman Hu, you can pick it up right now in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. And something amazing happening here at Fortis Institute. You know, we've brought together the sharpest minds in biblical teaching, not to win arguments, but to help people like you and me actually live out what we say we believe. All of these voices alongside of Todd, each bringing their own expertise to the table. Talking about Dr. John Krotz, who you're listening to right now, Dr. Andrew Walker, Dr. Adam Tyson, Libby Glosson, Dr. Greg Gifford, Tim Challies, and others. You can hear all of the content everyone is producing at Fortis Plus, and it's completely free. It doesn't cost you anything, which still boggles my mind considering what you get. I mean, seven pieces of new content every single day. It's already full of hundreds of hours of audio and video content as we sit, and we're just continuing to fill it every day. Something else that's free is becoming a Fortis Insider. If you haven't signed up to become a Fortis Insider just yet, you can do that at fortisinstitute.org. You're going to get access to our webinars before anyone else. You're going to get information about all of the sales in the Fortis store several times a year before anyone else. It actually pays to become a Fortis Insider, but you don't pay to become a Fortis Insider. It actually pays you. It pays off. Sign up right now at fortisinstitute.org. Look, we're in a world that is increasingly disconnected from biblical truth, and we're trying to build something different here at Fortis, but we've got to have partners just like you who understand exactly what's at stake. We would be honored to have you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, but only if you're already giving faithfully to your local church and you're not strapped by any kind of unmanaged debt. If those areas in your life are okay, pray about what it would look like in your life to join us. You can get all of the information right now at fortisinstitute.org. Now, let's get back to Dr. John Krotz. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Krotz.
Welcome back. Today we're talking about reading our Bibles, becoming better Bible readers. I remember early in my Christian life, I was a Bible battler. I used the Bible in a weaponized way where I would find key verses that I thought proved my point, and I would spit them out to people, hoping that they would believe like I believed. And I really, looking back, didn't know very much God was very gracious and kind, as he always is to us. It wasn't until months later that I was on a Christian retreat after my first year of college that it built into the schedule on our retreat was devotional time or quiet time. And I remember wondering, okay, what are you supposed to do now? And they basically said, just go separate out from the group and have a little time reading the Bible and praying. And so I did. The 2 days of that retreat, I went away and I read my Bible. I even remember what I read. Not necessarily the greatest reasons for what I read, a little bit random. I at the time was working in a Christian bookstore, and it was Michael W. Smith. He's still around. He's still making Christian music, but he was a younger man at that time. But he put out a concert video, and he quoted the most all of Psalm 139 from memory. And I thought that was really neat. And so I thought, aha, I'll read Psalm 139 for my time with the Lord. Well, that's a wonderful passage to read, a wonderful psalm to read. And the Lord really impressed several parts of it on my heart. And I responded in prayer. I responded in worship. The other day that we were there at the beach retreat, I read Isaiah chapter 53. I had heard that Isaiah 53 was good, but I hadn't read the whole chapter. And so I did, and I remember being so impressed by the innocence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the prophesied servant who was to come. He was innocent, but I was guilty of sins, and he was crushed for my iniquities. And that the Lord really used in my life. After that, I was working at a Christian camp, and we also had devotionals as part of our time and our schedule. And that got me into a habit of reading the Bible, and that changed my life. I would even say this. Some people say, oh, pastor, you know the Bible very well because you're a pastor, you know, as if that's some magical way that you know the Bible. Or no, you went to seminary. And yes, I was very blessed to go to some wonderful seminaries. But I can tell you this. What I learned at a Christian college and seminary was a framework for understanding the Bible and tools to dig into it and study. I know the Bible like I know the Bible because of years of studying, week by week, sermon by sermon, lesson by lesson, as well as my devotional times, which I try to read something different than what I'm studying, just so that I always remind myself, this is for me. And it's basically being a Bible reader that has helped me learn the Bible like I do. How should you read the Bible? I told you, gave you some hints that maybe you want to start with the Gospel of Mark, and maybe you want to go to a book like Ephesians. Maybe you read it over and over again. But let me just give you a few more ideas of how to think about the Bible. First, just read the Bible plainly, like you would any book. I mean, Ephesians, we call it a book, is really a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a church, a real church with real issues going on. And so you should read it like a book or like an article or like a letter. I guess in our day, like a post on social media. It's a little bit long of a post, but anyway, it's just to be read very plainly. There's a flow to it. There's a context to it. And that's really important. Don't just pick and choose words that you like or phrases that you like and try to twist them or mold them to mean what you want them to mean. They mean what they mean in the flow of the passage. It's really important. Another important thing is to consider the original audience first. This is where a study Bible might help us, a little bit of knowledge of history, right? So this is a letter, but it's not written to you today in our generation. It was actually written to a real church in the coast of modern Western Turkey. That's where the city of Ephesus was and is. And so what was going on in the first century, right? So as best as we can figure it out, it's always right to start with the original audience. What did Paul mean for them to understand? And then we basically say, okay, how is our situation like the Ephesians? And now I can make my applications to my world and my situation as well. So that's going to be really important. Another important tip for being a better Bible reader is to understand genre. Okay, the Bible is a book of books, if you will. 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. And they're different kinds of literature. And we actually read them differently. Some of them are telling stories. I mentioned the Gospel of Mark, where we have lots of stories of Jesus. Like if you want to read about the time that Jesus was teaching in the house and it was so crowded and nobody could get in, and some people brought a paralytic and they climbed up on the roof and they dug through the roof and they dropped their friend through the roof on his pallet in front of Jesus. Jesus forgave his sins, healed the man. Everyone was amazed when it was all said and done. Well, you can read that story. A wonderful story is in Mark chapter 2. So if Mark is where you start in your Bible reading plan, you don't have long before you are reading that great story. But you do, again, you have to remember the original context, the original audience. You read that and you go, okay, they climbed up on the roof. If they climbed up on my roof, that paralytic friend is going to roll down the pitched roof. But in Bible times, they often had flat roofs that even had stairways, outside stairways, to get up there. They stored things, like maybe in our garage, they stored things on the roof. And sometimes they would go up there and sit and have a nice evening in the cool. And the roof maybe would have tiles made of clay, but underneath of that, dirt and sticks and logs to form the roof. So you really could get up there, dig through, and lower your friend down in front of Jesus. What a great story. My point now is genres, right? Summer history. You've got history in the Old Testament. A lot of history in the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible. A lot of history in the book of Exodus. Then you've got the law. Lots of legal language in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Deuteronomy is a repetition of the law. Then back to the history. Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and keeps going all the way through Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. Then you've got this section in the middle that's kind of called the wisdom literature. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. These are the wisdom books. They are written in a poetic form. They have a lot more picturesque language. They have the key for Hebrew poetry is repetition. And so that's really significant. Other parts of the Bible are prophecy, where the prophets are calling the people back to their covenant commitments to God and predicting bad things coming if they keep disobeying, good things coming if they obey, and looking forward to the ultimate Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a little bit of prophecy in the book of Revelation as well, apocalyptic literature. You've got some history. The book of Acts is the history of the early church. You've got letters. So you have to kind of know what you're reading, and you get used to where that is and how that works. I want to kind of land our plane by just reminding us that we're not looking for hidden codes. We're not trying to change the, you know, make mystical meanings. Just read it. Just read it. But we don't just want to read. We want to read it and do it. The Bible says about itself in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scriptures breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Yes, the Bible is inspired by God. It's breathed out by God. It's true. It's reliable. You can take it to the bank, but it is profitable for action, for changing us, for convicting us where we're wrong, for helping us get back on the right path, and for equipping us comprehensively to live the Christian life. It's not enough for us to know the Bible, to be filled with truth after truth after truth, where your head gets so big. But instead, we are to put that truth into action. When we see a command, we do it because this is the Word of God. He is our authority. He is our Lord. He is our King. And we want to serve Him by putting the Word to work in our lives. So go. Don't just be a hearer of God's Word. Go and do God's Word today.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Kreutz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Kreutz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.